Welcome to this new edition of the Montreal Anti-Capitalist Convergence radio program. The Anti-Capitalist Convergence, or CLAC, united to bring a radical opposition at last April's Quebec City Summit of the Americas. The CLAC is mainly made up of Montreal area activists that share a common analysis on the need to bring independent, non-NGO, non-reformist points of view on the globalization debate, but also on local and other international issues. Since the Quebec Summit, the CLAC has joined several organizational efforts. We supported the opening of the well-known Montreal area SQUAT, and among others, we participated in a global day of action against the Qatar World Trade Organization Summit, a day of action coordinated simultaneously in over 60 countries, an event that went totally unnoticed in the mainstream corporate-owned press. In today's edition of the program, we will ask to a participant of the CLAC what it means to do solidarity work, particularly international solidarity. There is much to say about this question. Most often, the people who talk about solidarity work for NGOs and actually consider that solidarity work can be done in existing social and political structures. That is to say that they avoid bringing up the responsibility of US and Canadian governments when these are clearly shutting their eyes on human rights abuses, exploitation, militarization, and repression. Often, when international solidarity is mentioned, we are presented with voices from the South that are carefully chosen, presented as valuable and true representatives of their localities or of their countries. This is something that people who participate in the CLAC are often criticizing. To talk a bit about this question, we joined Sarita Ahuja of the CLAC. She helped organize several events and is active in networking work to help promote a different and radical vision of global struggles and of international solidarity. First, I asked her what she thinks about the word solidarity.
Well, I first would like to just talk about the nature of solidarity, I think. I think a lot of people recognize that solidarity means there's a willingness or a need to work together, to have a common goal, to understand the struggle of other people and how that's linked to your struggle. And especially in countries where the culture of resistance is very long, and this idea of solidarity is finally intertwined with the idea of mutual aid and respect of different ways of existence and living in today's society. And one thing here, you know, we're told a lot of times that solidarity means that you know, at times we talk about what's going on in other places in the world and the oppression and repression that's happening, but we don't look at how what we can do here, usually in the belly of the beast, in the imperial power states, how we can get involved in the struggles that mean the local struggle here, and how that is going to also affect the struggle in Mexico, the struggle in Bolivia, or the struggle in Africa, for that matter.
Let's talk about Bolivia, to give an example. How would you link up the struggles in Bolivia with what is going on here?
Well, let's say a lot of people recognize Bolivia now as the center of what they consider the water war, or a very strong struggle against the privatization of water facilities in the area of Cochabamba. And I think that is true. It can be looked at as part of the anti-globalization movement against the privatization of social services and governmental companies. But we can also look at it as part of a history of very strong anti-colonial struggles of indigenous peoples against the imposition of a totally, completely different way of thinking, a different set of values, and a different way of governing people from the top down. And within that anti-colonial struggle, then we can link it to here in terms of the anti-imperialist struggles and what people, the indigenous peoples in the Americas, throughout the Americas, what they've been doing, and also then how in our culture here in the North, how people have been expelled, either through looking for exile or for economic reasons, natural disasters, how they've come here to work and build the countries here, and they bring with them that struggle, and they become part of our society here, and yet we don't put emphasis on how those struggles are linked, and how my liberation is ultimately bound to the liberation of everybody. No one gets out of this system alive unless we all do. So that's another thing, is when we think about, let's say, you know, how we can deal with our housing problems here in Montreal. Well, there's also a natural link that we can make to what's going on with housing in the Indigenous reserves here in Canada, and how people are being taken off the land, out of their home, their natural, you know, environment, and these kind of impositions on our daily lives and how people are resisting. They all, in some way, they're connected to how this system needs to exploit and take advantage of basically everybody.
How do you believe the voices that you bring forth with the CLAC are different than the one from the NGOs?
Well, I think the CLAC is trying to bring forth people that are not afraid to say that we need to make a change, but that change doesn't always necessarily sound good for the people in power. It's not wrapped in some kind of glamorous package that can be presented at a big board meeting and that will not insult their sensibilities. You know, sometimes people and people here in the North will recognize the legitimacy of confrontation in the South, and yet they will deny that legitimacy here in our own backyard. So I think CLAC, would like to insert or add to the public debate here in the North that the same legitimacy that we give to other struggles of dispossessed people and marginalized people throughout the world, we should also be granting to the same people that face the same dispossession here in the North, because they are ultimately linked. And it's the same kind of political engagement that we admire in those people in the South, in Africa, in Latin America, of the Indigenous peoples here in Canada themselves, that we should also admire the people, anti-poverty workers, people like OCAP in Toronto, or groups that are completely marginalized because of their confrontational stance and discourse, like the CLAC. So that's the kind of effort that CLAC would like to bring to our political resistance here in the North, that is really becoming bankrupt because of this tendency for co-optation, for collaboration with the government, that eventually sells us all out, sells out all of us to this fake dream of that, we'll somehow be able to get some meager crumbs. But in the end, most of the people will not, and we're seeing that more and more now. People are being downsized and flexibilized and just plain out of luck.
Maybe you can talk to us specifically about different things that the CLAC has done. For example, I'd like for you to tell us more about the PGA committee. Can you tell us in a few words what this committee is about?
Well, when the CLAC first emerged and was defining its principles, it said that it was an anti-imperialist group. Now, anti-imperialism is, global empire, and so in that same spirit, we have to be connected to other resistance groups, other struggles and other resistance that are happening throughout the world. And there's this one network called the People's Global Action Network, which is first inspired from the encounters in the Chiapas jungle back in 1996, when the Zapatistas called activists throughout the world to come and discuss about this new way of resistance, of helping each other, and of basically inspiring hope again after the 80s with the Reagan economics and all. But so So out of these discussions, the idea of networking and needing to exchange and share experiences and in a direct way, as well as in the ways that technology offers us through email, this network developed over the years through international days of action, which were decentralized actions throughout the globe that targeted, let's say, you know, a global institution like the International Monetary Fund or the World Trade Organization, things that affect most everybody. And to have these kind of actions in a clear solidarity with everybody's struggle. Mm-hmm. And over the years, the network has developed. I'd say it's very strong in Latin America and in Europe, and it's beginning to grow here in North America. In Seattle, there was a definite presence of the People's Global Action Network, or let's say those people that adhere to their principles. Principles of decentralized organizing, a valuing of autonomy and solidarity and mutual aid, affirming different alternatives of living based on these values, but also affirming a struggle that values direct action and confrontation against a capitalist, imperialist, and very exploitative system. So recognizing that that we do live in that system, it's not just a corporate world; it is a capitalist world we live in. So PGA is really strategic in that way, and has over the years developed through the internet as a way to coordinate these international days of action, but also conferences that have traveled in different places, you know, in India. Recently there was one in Bolivia where people do gather and speak face-to-face and discuss, you know, the directions of the struggle and the principles and how they change according to the nature of the beast that oppresses us.
Can you give us an idea what the next few actions or what the next few events we might pay attention to are?
The PGA subcommittee of the CLAC will be focusing a lot on militarization of the Americas. Within that, we can see Plan Colombia is a clear example of what's going on in that whole region, in the Andean region. So we'll be focusing with conferences and debates, public debates and popular education, focusing on what that means, the militarization there in Colombia, as well as the Plan Puebla Panama, which is taking up the whole of Central America and so on.
So that was Sarita Ahuja, who actively participates in the CLAC. She explained to us what it means for her to be organizing in the realm of international solidarity. If you're interested to know more about the CLAC, we encourage you to seek information on the group and to come to our meetings. You can check out our webpage at quebec2001.net or call and leave a message at area code 514-409-2049. You can also send us an email at clac@tao.ca. That's clac@tao.ca, and we will put you on our mailing list. The CLAC is open to everyone who shares our basis of principles. Our aim is to bring a radical analysis and to act in correspondence with what this means. We are anti-capitalistic, non-hierarchical, and anti-paternalistic, and we meet every 2 or 3 weeks in an open assembly that tries to respect direct democracy. Thank you for listening.